Linda Garrett. This is a Talk Radio. I appreciate you taking time to tune in, and wherever you are, hope you're having a great day. Hope you're finding something really exciting to check into or check out. I really enjoy the opportunity to connect and meet with people through Facebook and other venues. Social media is an amazing outlet. My primary connections usually are so far removed from what I initially, what drew my attention. I have, there's just no way of saying I'm going to look for this and this is what I got, because it usually, you know, takes a fork, a loop-de-loop, a swirl, and then I end up with something really cool. That's just how it works. And that's how I got my guest today. Jeff Becker has an amazing story, Paths to Contact, stories from the Contact Underground. He's compiled a list of people who were willing to go public with their stories in hopes of sharing that information and getting others to realize we are not alone. And in order to get over the trauma, stigma, drama of that, the best thing to do is say, hey, this is what happened to me. Hey, Jeff, thanks for coming in and taking time out to talk with me.
Well, hi, Wendy, and thanks for having me on your show.
All right. In 2008, you decided to make contact for yourself. Is that how this thing kind of got into gear?
Yeah, that's kind of it. Back up a little bit. Every so often, I was looking into the subject of UFOs. I've always enjoyed subjects having to do with space and what all is out there. And so I checked in, you know, every decade or so to see if there was anything that really struck me as compelling in the UFO field. And every so often something would catch my imagination. But in 2007, I ran across the Disclosure Project information that Dr. Stephen Greer put together. He actually did a big press conference in 2001, and he has lots of videos and books out on that. And those witnesses were military, government, FAA, very serious people. And I was just convinced that it had to be real. And I also, so that sparked my interest. I started doing a lot of reading, and I found in a lot of cases that where people were in contact with a spacecraft, there would be telepathic communication. And there were enough of those that I found it very convincing, even though in my previous view of the world, being brought up with scientific background, there was no room for telepathy. So that was kind of a major shift for me, and it took a lot for me to just accommodate that simple thing that, oh my goodness, maybe telepathy is real. So I kind of went out through kind of a major change in the way I viewed reality. I went from a scientific view where anything not explained by science doesn't exist to one where science is still pretty much right, but you can't have those limits anymore.
Well, even people who have talked about the nature of skepticism, if you rule everything out, then by that simple law, you can't believe in anything. It kind of stymies you right there.
Well, I kind of view that as a real science, the way I like to view it, is very inquisitive. So if there are unanswered questions out there, the thing to do is not deny them. The thing to do is investigate them. So if there's this possibility of making contact with ETs, the thing to do is not deny it. It's just, you know, go find somebody that says, yeah, I can put you in touch with ETs and see if they're for real. And so that's what I did in 2008. There's an organization called CSETI. It's the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And this is also organized by Dr. Stephen Greer. And they have week-long training workshops where you go out every night under the stars and the ETs show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to lots and lots and lots of people that have been to these events. When I got to my first training event, one of the first things I did was I met a couple of college professors. This was the seventh time for both of them to be to one of these. And these are not flighty people. If it weren't real, they wouldn't be there seven times, right?
Mm-hmm, so, yeah.
And
that's what I want to get into too, the background of some of the people that you have here. So so when you went your first time, did you have an experience?
Oh, it was fantastic. The first night we were there, there was Dr. Grew was talking about one of the ETs. He made contact with by way of one of his closest partner, Sherry Adamack, and she had died of cancer, and actually she introduced him to this ET contact after she died. And so he was talking about this contact, and right as they were discussing, as he was discussing this, there was appeared a sequence of flashes in the sky that the best I can describe it as is like a dance in the sky. There were flashes, but they were jumping around randomly. So, if you made a circle in the sky about 10 times the size of the full moon, it was just sort of bouncing around inside this circle with different flashes, different sizes, different brightness. And this went on for, maybe 20 seconds.
Okay, so enough to get your attention and say something's happening.
Yeah, that was absolutely not an airplane. It's not going in a straight line. It's just here, there, and everywhere. It's not a satellite. It's, the only thing it could be is something very unusual. So I was delighted with that. And then for the rest of the week, there was always something going in the sky.
Okay, now you're a computer programmer by background.
That's correct.
So was this, getting into this ET stuff, even though from my experience, people who are in your line of work are inquisitive and they're very format or task oriented. They look for details and they like to be challenged. Was this a bit hard for you to, to start saying, I want to talk to more people about this and this word needs to get out? Or is that why? Why did you decide it was okay to go public? Because you know how that normally goes over.
Yeah, well, so after 2008, I started a group in 2009. It seemed like that was the main, one of the main purposes of the training was to get people prepared to help others see the same things we'd seen during that week. And so, when I do something, I don't sort of do it halfway. I go all in or I don't. So I started this group and I started having lots of experiences around my house where, lights would show up. Sometimes it would be, once it was across the field, is I could estimate it really well because there's a tree line there, so it's just a few hundred yards away. This big disc of light on a foggy morning. There's another time, I think in 2011, it was foggy out, very low clouds, maybe a couple hundred feet between the ground and where the clouds started, and this disc of light just zipped right over my house and then appeared again off in a different direction. So things like that, that can't possibly be a satellite. You can't see satellites through heavy clouds.
Well, and what you're saying too is that you don't have to go out somewhere to experience this. It can happen in your own location.
Yeah. That's just a couple of dozens of very compelling events that happened over the last few years. So there's no room for doubt in my mind. And I know lots of other people feel the same way. So I can't say exactly what got me started, where the idea for the book came from. It just sort of hit me like, I think I'll ask people if they think this is a good idea. And I was kind of hesitant because I work full time. I don't really have time. I don't have a lot of spare time, and I wasn't really wanting another project. But it just sort of hit me that, wow, this would be great. And so I went on Facebook and I asked people, well, would you be willing to contribute to it? What do you think of this? Would you be willing to contribute to it? And the response is very enthusiastic.
Yeah, you've got some dynamite people in here making presentations with some very good credentials. I want to ask very quickly before we go forward, the telepathic connection, has that happened for you?
Absolutely, and that's really one of my favorite sequence of events that I like to describe. involves a very clear telepathic interaction over a period of time. So what happened was one evening I do this a lot during the summer, not so much during the winter, but I go out and just, I call it thinking at the sky and sort of have a one-sided conversation. And then a lot of times the ETs will respond to what I'm thinking by making a streak, which is, it looks sort of like a meteor, only it's, there's no tail to it. And the light comes on suddenly, goes off suddenly, and it's the nature of the light for these lights is very unique. There's no glare to it. It's a pure white. Anyway, so I was asking about a person I know and who seemed to be important to the ETs, and I saw immediately a horizontal streak at the horizon. And so I thought, okay, that's probably a confirmation. And then I had another time when I was thinking about a friend who had seen a particular type of craft in Florida, and he told me about it, and I asked them, well, would you show this to our group at the next meeting? And I saw this north to south streak at the zenith. And I thought, I don't know what that means. So I kind of asked them, I asked them very clearly, if they would show me, when they meant no, if they would show me a vertical streak from high to low. And I just thought this, and then sort of traced vertically with my eyes as I was thinking that this is what I wanted as a no signal. And so they used that no signal a couple of different times. And one of those times was during our next group meeting. It was raining, and the group came inside, and we were sort of making jokes and things like that, and finally the rain stopped, and I said, well, let's go see if they're ready to interact with us. And so I stepped out on the side porch and immediately saw a high-to-low vertical streak right over where our chairs were. And this was, the clouds had not cleared. This was still stocked in low, heavy rain clouds. It just had quit raining. So, the streak was, it was wide. It was like a telephone pole at 50 or 100 yards. And I sort of expected to hear a crash, but there wasn't a crash.
Like an exclamation point. Pow.
Yeah, like bam, because it seemed pretty close. It was moving really fast.
Okay, so basically you have to develop kind of a dialogue and ask for some way that they can connect with you, and you mm-hmm. develop that for yourself, that pattern and the response. I like that, though. Can you show me yes, and you say, this is the way you want it, vertical, whatever, show me no. Mm-hmm. And then when they respond, how do you know if they respond yes or no, except through period of understanding that was supposed to be no or yes? I mean, it can get very, very convoluted when we look at how open-ended some of our language, some of our phrases, some of our words, we
right.
take it for granted we're being explicitly clear, and we are, but it isn't always accurate.
Yeah, well they used the no signal another time, and I couldn't make any sense of it. And this was I brought my daughter back from the airport in Indianapolis, and her flight got in late, and it was like 1 in the morning. I tried to go to sleep, couldn't go to sleep, got up, and it was like 4 in the morning, leaning on my car. And to the east, I was looking east, and then off to my right, I saw a diagonal streak. And so I thought, well, I think that's you guys, but I'm not sure because I wasn't looking that way. And immediately, I saw a streak right where I was looking, and then off to the right again. Off to the right again. So I looked right, and this went 3 or 4 times, and still finally I'm looking in the southwest. And then there's this vertical streak right over where my workshop is. And the confusing factor was that it started near Jupiter. And I had seen in the previous weeks a couple of funny things that were related to Jupiter in one way or another. And so I was thinking, no Jupiter, no Jupiter, what do you mean no Jupiter? And so I spent weeks puzzling this out. So, you know, even yes, no, it's not necessarily clear what's intended. Mm-hmm. And I eventually figured out that because of other things that happened, like the a power breaker went off, it broke, and the electrician came out, and he hooked up my house, and he didn't hook up my workshop. And it took me months and months and months to get power back to the workshop. I eventually figured out that what they meant was no workshop, because I had plans to spend a lot of time there, and we were in the process of adopting a son, and there was an ET connection there. But
see, that's the stuff that sometimes is so subtle that mm-hmm. it takes a while to figure out. Wow, you know, there's another hand at work in this, and there's a lot of when people haven't had this experience for themselves. It's difficult at first to really accept that this kind of thing can happen and that it does on a regular basis more often than we have any idea.
Yeah. And then when it happens, you know, it's very easy to think you're very special and that, you know, somehow you're going to get a cosmic message or something like, oh, no Jupiter. They're going to tell you something cosmic about Jupiter. Well, no, it was very, very personal. And so, it's very interesting how well they understand you at a personal level.
Okay, now that part I want to bring into the equation here, the other people that you have, because these mm-hmm. are true stories from the Contact Underground. The book is called Paths to Contact. You can get online and check out the website. And a lot of the people you are talking to here have also had experiences with Dr. Greer. That yes. seems to be the common denominator.
Yeah, not everybody has been to training with Dr. Greer, but most of them have. That's because the group I was in when I asked for contributions was one that was related to making contact intentionally. So most of those people had seen Dr. Greer, but not all of them.
Okay, the one that I thought was really super fascinating. There are some great stories in here. Everybody lists their credentials and why they might be interested and all that. Was the guy who has quite the military background, and you save him towards the end. And when you're looking for people who believe this, the most valid has been like when Leslie Kahn came out with her book, UFOs, you know, on the record, with mm-hmm. all of the military, the records, the documentation from all over the world saying right. that these events have happened. We have no explanation for them. We're not going to say we know what they are or what they are, but we're going to say we don't have any way of doing what's being done.
Mm-hmm.
So when you include all of these people and you look for, you know, the ones... Is everybody who contacted you in this book, or were there more that you had to leave out?
There were some that had initially wanted to be in the book, but then decided either they weren't ready at this time, or they weren't able to get the information together in time. So there are others, and the book has gone out, there have been other people who have contacted me with some pretty amazing stories too. So this is just a tiny, tiny, tiny sample.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about Todd Michael.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most, in your opinion, the most impressive thing about his resume, his credentials, and his information that he brings to the table?
Well, first of all, Todd's he's a serious guy. He worked in signal intelligence. And he didn't decide this was real in a casual way, but he did find out, he initially... got some clues that the ET presence was real through his official channels, or unofficially through his channels.
Unofficial channels. Aren't supposed to exist.
there's nothing official about that sort of information usually. Where was I going with this?
He didn't believe initially. Initially, he was, you know, just like anybody else, saying, "Well, you know, this isn't real." It's all right. So he changed his mind after his other connections,
right? And then he started looking into all sorts of esoterica and telepathy and that sort of thing. And then he has had some pretty incredible experiences. And in fact, when he moved out of the military, he started his own contact tours. And so a lot of what he has to say comes from tours he did with various people. And they had some incredible sightings. And then I guess one of my favorites of his experiences when he was at home requesting personal contact, and this ET came through the wall and greeted him.
And that's pretty, yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
In the way of an introduction.
Yeah, I've seen lights in the sky. I haven't seen that sort of thing yet.
No, I haven't seen it. I have had, well, at least not that I'm fully aware of. I have had that contact with an audio, and the audio, when the sound came, and even though I had been prepared, because as an intuitive, a sensitive, I had this thing saying, this will happen, and mm-hmm. you'll have to not be afraid. I'm like, well, okay, I've dealt with all these other incredible and sometimes overwhelming supernatural encounters, experiences. I thought I had dealt with my fear. This was a whole different element, because the minute I heard the voice and that, or it was like an electronic type voice that tried to say my name, and it didn't, it was had a difficulty pronouncing it. But the minute I heard it, my whole body went into that freeze, you know, mm-hmm. from head to toe. It's like, holy cow. And I knew it the minute that happened, that it stopped it. And I heard, you know, that my sources, my guides, you know, chuckling, saying, we told you have to deal with your fear.
Yeah.
Because it's in us. We are, you know, that's our fight or flight. That's our survival mechanism. And we are programmed to fear that which we cannot identify. And boy, when you have that, because that was something that touched me physically, the sound, the voice. Mm-hmm. But since then, it's been telepathic. And it had been before. But saying that, you know, there are some ways we are not, as a species, prepared for this type of engagement. And from reading your book and other stories, it seems that that's what has been happening. We're being prepared, and we're being contacted one by one. You know, each and everyone is entitled to believe it or not, but this is right. Going on. And I think that's why your book is such a helpful piece of work, to give people an idea that if you've had something like this, pay attention, do your homework, find out what's going mm-hmm. on, and don't jump to conclusions. You know, it comes through you. You also have the ability to imagine a few things that may be embellishments.
Right. There are a lot of books out there that want to provide some sort of proof that this is real. And I'm not really trying to do that with this book. I'm just trying to share various people's experiences to let you know what happened and what they made of it. But proof has to come, to my way of thinking, it has to come from the ETs themselves. And so what I want people to get out of the book is, first of all, that anybody can do this, that you can request contact and it'll happen. You have to not be in fear. You have to be in your heart place. But there are ways to do this so that anybody can do it. And then you'll know.
Okay, we'll take a quick break here, but when we come back, I want to talk more about some of the stories from the book and some of the people mm-hmm. that you've included, because those names may be, you know, in some way, shape, or form recognizable to someone who's listening right now. And if you're listening, then you can also go on the website and check it out at pathstocontact.org. The book is available. It's called Paths to Contact, True Stories from the Underground. And if you want to, you know, connect with Jeff, if you've had your own story, that's also what we're encouraging now, too, because the more we talk about it, the less frightening it is. And the more you realize that this thing, this presence, this consciousness is much bigger in ourselves than we have been able to, I guess, admit, you know. It's just because if you admit that, then you have to explore more. And our science has been really limited in the ability to explore consciousness. That's
Absolutely.
What's changing. That's what's changing. So, Jeff, if you want to, you know, take a minute, relax a little bit, we're going to come back and talk about some of the names of the stories that you've included. And again, there's a nice little list here of people who've had up close and personal encounters. and the guy that we talked about, Todd Michael, with his military background. And this is something that, you know, he's had some experience doing things that were very, very off the charts, under the radar, and involved with people where he saw disinformation as part of the equation as well. And so there's all of this stuff that we have to filter through when we try and figure out what's going on. I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screenings. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ. Good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to ahrq.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting?
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Conscious Living on Power Radio. Thank you for joining me today for our conversation with Jeff Becker. The book he's been part of is called Paths to Contact, True Stories from the Contact Underground. He has his own personal experiences that he has included in this book. But some of the people he has contacted, it's amazing how overused that word can become. Okay, that he's connected with, they come from all walks of life. I picked up on a couple in the middle, Lorna Smith. Or Smite. Mm-hmm. Is it Smith?
Smite.
Okay. And she's in Ohio. Mm-hmm. She has a degree in psychology, and she has experienced a lot of metaphysical types of interactions. And she talks about what happened earlier in her life, you know, seeing things above the bed, having conversations with maybe you would call it imaginary friends. It sounds real familiar, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But she also talks about how one enables the contact. And so a lot of these people have come up with the way that works for them. And I think that's what's so cool about this is we tend to look for a cookie cutter way of whatever it is. If it's yoga, if it's Reiki, everybody's got to be able to do it the same way. And that isn't the way this works. It isn't the way anything works. Each person has to figure out their own code, their own sequence, their own vibration, their own belief system, and make it work to plug in and fill in the missing pieces of the puzzle. And I think that's what this book illustrates, that all of these people come from different walks of life, and yet they're each having a very profound experience that has changed them. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
For you. Yeah, go ahead. What was your, in including this story?
It's absolutely the way it is. It's different for everybody. We all have different personalities, different abilities, especially when it comes to psychic abilities. Some of us seem to be much more able to see things than others and that sort of thing. And some of us have been denying it for a long time and finally find out that, oh, yeah, it works. Lorna's a good friend, actually. She's been coming to the group here for a number of years, so we've had the chance to talk about things. And really, she is constantly facing doubts about how real some of this is. But I think she's... Oh, I don't know. I don't really want to speak for her, but she talks about those doubts a lot in her chapter, and whether certain experiences were real or was it a hoax. And often it really is hard to tell. And when you start seeing these things in the sky, it becomes very important to learn about what sort of things occur normally in the sky so that you can make an intelligent judgment as to what it is you're seeing.
Well, I think that becomes more complicated by the chapter you include at the end with the guy on disinformation. Because when you have that vantage point of knowing what can be deliberately inserted or deliberately covered by the mainstream media that then get all of the consciousness stirring up things and people start doing their own imagining, it can get out of hand pretty quick. So that's this deal of going back to doing your own self introspection, your own self discovery, figuring out mm-hmm. where you might be vulnerable or an easy target, an easy mark. Because when this stuff happens, it changes everything you think you know about reality.
It does.
To reformat the hard drive and go back in and say, what am I going to choose to add to this and why? And how does that make a difference? Because it's you against the rest of the world when it comes to discerning whether this is legit.
Yeah, one of the things I found was, especially people coming from the scientific end of things, is that the UFO question is one of those gateways to raising consciousness. It's just the tip of the changes that you go through once you discover that this is real. The rest of it is about you and what it means that you're able to have telepathic communication with other beings. How does that work? And you find out that there's a universal consciousness underlying everything that connects all of us. And it's pretty profound.
Well, and see, that's the last thing people expected, I believe, from all the stories that we have had since childhood, at least in my experience, that say that ETs and UFOs are all out to, you know, take us to another planet or feed us to something. And, you know, it's been that negative, negative, negative. And that's the last thing in my experience that I have encountered when connecting with this type of energy.
Absolutely. And there have been thousands of people that have gone, you know, maybe tens of thousands, that have gone out in the stars just lots and lots of times. And there are no reports of anybody ever being injured when they intentionally make contact by putting themselves in a loving, joyful place and requesting loving, joyful contact.
Well, I'll go back and say I never asked for contact. It was the last thing that I wanted to get into because this is such a dicey field. So I didn't say, hey, come talk to me. It was like, no. I've already, my intuitive stuff and this other experience I was having was more of an elevate your consciousness to connect with other non-corporeal entities that are here asking us to be better, basically. And then I found this connection, which does the same thing. It says, you need to learn how to play nice. You need to have more appreciation for all of the beings that are here, not just the people beings, but everything. And that's where we have a big, huge role of work ahead of us to fill, to bring that into fruition. But for me, the stories that I see that you're sharing, that seems to be a very big part of it, is that heart element of compassion.
Absolutely. And one of the authors says near the end of his chapter that he has a group up in Canada. And he says when you're looking for people, for a group like this, what you want is people that want to change the world and expect nothing in return. Those are the ones that you really want to be in your contact group, because it's it really is about that. This awakening that will happen if people realize that there's a heck of a lot more to life than going shopping and watching television.
Oh, imagine that. Yeah.
This has the potential to absolutely make the world a much, much better place. But first, people have to step outside the small view they have of themselves and understand that there's so much more.
Okay. For you, I know this this is a challenge, talking about this in public and discussing it in a way that people are going to identify. But I have to say, this is how it starts. This is how we begin to explore and expand through personal experience, personal encounters, and then, forming support groups and other, support networks that give people an opportunity to run this by somebody outside of themselves who says, I had the same deal. I had that, and for me, it's been a very, I won't say lonely, but a path of learning on my own by myself what I can work with and how to keep my own imagination in check so I don't assume something. I have to continue to go back and say, so what happened? But I lost doubt a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It is incredibly important to find like-minded people to get together with. When I was first going through all these changes, I had all these ideas that I couldn't talk to anybody about. And I got to the first CCIDI training, and it was such a relief to have people to talk to that say, oh, yeah, that happens all the time.
Whoa, who are you?
But there is such a culture of ridicule when it comes to these topics that when you talk to most people that aren't used to this way of thinking, their first response is to laugh at you. And that's really, really hard for most people to take. There are big secrets being kept just because people are afraid to talk, and they're afraid because they think they're going to get laughed at. That's a very, very powerful mechanism.
Well, the other thing, too, though, is there's a fear, because there's sometimes some retribution if you talk about it, and people come in and start bothering you, like Betty and Barney Hill. That was they were dissected. They were, and still that story is very prominent in terms of what happens when somebody has a very visual and in some way uncorroboratable, story. This mm-hmm. happened to those two people. Did everybody experience it? No, these two people did. And are they legit? All of that stuff. And then when you are interviewed by people in suits and interrogated and pieces of your property taken and tests done, that can also be a real stopper when it comes to telling anybody about your experience.
Yeah. And Travis Walton, Fire in the Sky guy. He had similar problems. He called all sorts of names. When he first published his book, the key pages about his lie detector test were missing when the book was published. So, there's a lot going on. I don't know if it's as bad now, but still, it's I think if you get a story that involves physical evidence, you're going to have problems.
That's the thing. I don't know that we can say it's bad or good. I think it's curious that it seems to be a pattern.
Yeah, it is. For me personally, I haven't had that sort of problem. I have connections mostly with people that are like-minded, so that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and see, that's part of what this is about. It's saying there's nothing to prove here. It's a matter of we're telling stories. And then it's up to you as a listener or as a, you know, a receiver of the story, how does this fit in your reality? And I will tell you, in my reality where things like this didn't happen, the kinds of physical involvements. I was walking down the street walking the dog about 2 years ago, and this is one of the really big ones. I'm looking, just there's nobody else out. It's the middle of the day, bright, sunny. To the left, I see squirrels running down a tree, this beautiful, you know, all leafed out fully. It was spring, and I see squirrels, and I'm counting 10, 15. I'm like, whoa, where? And there's more squirrels that could have been up in that tree. And then I'm seeing all this, more than I can count. I stopped at about 25 at that point and looked at the equal number coming from the opposite direction. So I got up to about 50, and they're all running toward a well. Looks, you know, like a wishing well type scenario. And at that point, I am so overwhelmed by the visual phenomena. I don't know what I'm seeing, because it's, what is that? And they're all running to go down a well. This is in my waking, normal, I'm walking the dog reality. Mm-hmm. I've had other shifts and things that were told ahead of time so I would be prepared. This one I didn't expect, but it was a way of saying, we really don't know what our reality is and what is possible. And we have a lot of homework and a lot of perception tests to get us up to par when it comes to being willing to go out on a limb and experience stuff that right now we don't even have words for. When this enters your life, then you have to really pay attention to all of these details. What was the point of that experience for me? It was saying, we don't necessarily know what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind doesn't work fast enough to account for it if we don't have a frame of reference for what's going on. What I saw was multitude of squirrels running from all different directions to go down this well. It made no sense. And at the same time,
such a bizarre thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing, you know, and you can make all sorts of jokes about it. I know I have. But there was a point. There was a point. And for me, it's done, you know, it's caused me to explore a few other things. But that, you know, that's the kind of thing that we are exposed to. And sometimes we just say, well, I can't reconcile it, so it didn't happen.
Right. And there are other sorts of natural phenomena. I guess I'd call it a natural phenomenon because it involves squirrels, and there's not anything really artificial about squirrels. But there's another chapter in the book is by a meteorologist, and he has a group up in Canada, and he was out on a very, very foggy, windy night. And they started their meditation, and a hole opened up around them. And this is like a wall of an opening that went straight up so they could see stars overhead. And it's sort of like a wall of cloud around them. And this is not somebody that doesn't know what clouds are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. He's a meteorologist. He knows very well that this was very, very unusual. And
uncloud-like.
Very uncloud-like. And in a strong wind, a hole is going to open up in the fog? I don't think so. But in fact, that's happened. Similar sorts of things, maybe not quite so dramatic, but certainly in my group and at C-City trainings and other people have described this. There are similar sorts of changes in the natural world around them to assist the experience they're going through. And the other interesting thing about that is different people have different interpretations of how that happens. So somebody might think that it's ET technology that's opening the hole in the clouds. Some people might think it's their own energy that's burning a hole in the clouds. I tend to think it's nature cooperating to make this experience happen. But we really don't know. We don't know how it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the part of it, though. For me, it's like a test. When these things happen, you know, are you ready for something even more amazing than what's happening right now? Because we seem to get little increments of unbelievable things, of impossible things, to say, all right, here's the next carrot, grow. And here's the next carrot, grow. Because there's a whole lot of, in our way of thinking or being, of a tendency to, as you're saying, think you're bigger than the equation. Oh, I'm so special because this is happening. It's like, no, you're just now getting a clue. Okay, work with it.
Yep, exactly.
Welcome to the room, dude. See these thousands of people who've been here before you even thought about it? Grow up.
You're finally to the point where we can actually begin to teach you a thing or two.
Yeah, we can actually show you that we're here and how you respond. If you have your little hissy fit and tantrum and, you know, heart attack on the floor, okay, maybe we'll just let you think it was a delusion and go from there. Take some medication, you'll be fine. But if you say, wow, okay, give me a few days to process this and I'll come back. Just, you know, but that's the other thing too, is it doesn't just occur on the waking plane. It occurs in the dream plane.
Yes.
Because you've had dreams about certain things that would happen, and other people in your group, you know, that's also this consciousness we work with. It's operational 24/7.
There's one dream in particular that I mentioned, and almost any time I mention it, somebody new will say, I've had that dream, and it happened less than a month ago with somebody that had visited our group here for the first time. I said, well, it's this dream that a lot of people seem to have had. It's the sky is full of spaceships of different kinds, and nobody is certain what it means, but for that many people to have had that kind of dream, I think it must mean something.
I agree. I've had the same thing, and it's group consciousness.
There's another one.
In my opinion, it's group consciousness. It's us having an awareness and being fully, I think, at that point, awake, as opposed to working through this state that we call awakened, where we are dead to a lot of pieces of information because we're going through autopilot, our routine of the day. And it looks good for me to have a job, I'll have a job. Looks good for me to show up at my job and never be late, never be sick and do all that and punch the clock and then go home and watch TV and, you know, buy the appropriate clothes, buy the appropriate foods, join the appropriate clubs. That's not awake. Okay, that's an autopilot. And it's not a negative.
Are.
It's just saying you miss a lot of things when you're in that zone.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of what we think defines who we are is not who we are. And this is not in the book, but it's something I was shown last year, was that even your personality is not who you are. It can be changed. And so I was actually given a gift, and some aspect of my personality changed in a very obvious way to me, maybe not so obvious to everybody around me. But it was just striking how dramatic that was. And I know exactly when it happened. I was laying in bed and this very powerful vibration went through my head. And then I had a dream where I was tested to see if the change had taken effect. It was pretty remarkable. And I know other people that have been worked on in various ways with these vibrations going through their bodies in different sorts of ways.
The tones, the frequencies, the sounds, all of that. It's like, what the heck is going on? And yet you feel it, and then it's like something all of a sudden kicks in and you've been plugged into the circuit and now things are working. But I do think you reach a certain level of willingness, of an acceptance, and then you get that information. You don't get it until you're ready.
Yeah, it's exposed in layers, but... And even contact, it can happen gradually. You're not going to have to deal with a craft landing and beings getting out and wanting to shake your hand right off. For most people, it starts with lights in the sky and things that are not nearly as threatening. Mm-hmm. But then there's people that seem to be very well connected with their star family from birth, like Janet Brooke, who's also wrote one of the chapters in the book. And she remembers standing up in her crib and seeing star beings in her room and talking to them and learning from them. She's done this all her life.
Yeah, so it wasn't just all of a sudden somebody gave her an idea and she said, oh, I'll go with that one. That looks good. Yeah. I can get a book out of that.
Yeah, and she actually started going to SeaCity trainings to find out what all this was about, because a lot of it was internal experience. But she wanted to prove to herself that it was real. There are a lot of different reasons people do that. People try to make contact with ETs, and but it's always a positive thing.
Okay, I tell you what, we are out of time. There are several wonderful little snippets in the book, little bits of enlightenment or quotes. I like the one that you have from W. Clement Stone. Have the courage to say no. Have the courage to face the truth. Do the right thing because it is right. These are the magic keys to living your life with integrity. And each person who listens to hears this information is going to have the ability to say it does or doesn't work for me. There's no proof. There's no wish to make you, you know, accept a certain type of belief or reality, because we are all part of this, and reality happens as we awaken and as we plug into our own creative ability and our own awareness. And sometimes it happens overnight. Other times it takes lifetimes. Being here right now means there's an opportunity to make it happen while you're still awake in this particular body. So I appreciate your time. I would like to talk with you again, you know, or with some of the people who've written your chapters, because you're inviting people to connect with you. Go ahead and give us a little bit of we got about 2 minutes to give some people some background.
What sort of background?
You're looking at the website. You're saying, hey, share your stories. Is this going to be for another book or for networking?
There'll be probably another book. I haven't decided what they're going to focus on. They will probably be a little more focused than this one, which covers a lot of different bases. It's sort of a nice sample. But again, it will be personal stories. So it's not just I had this experience. It's this is who I am. This is how I came by these experiences, and this is how it affected me. The past to contact. I really want to write stories about people, not about experiences, not about proving experiences, but experiences in the context of your life. So if people are willing to reveal themselves to that extent, then yes, please contact me. There's contact information on the website, which is www.pathstocontact.org.
And that's great.
Also,
you
can also find out there are links for to Amazon there for if you want to get the book, and also an explanation of it's basically the note I sent out to people to request stories for the current book.
We gotta go. So you've got the information now from Jeff, and tell your story if you can. I would love to hear more. And again, I hope to be in further connection with you as well. Past to Contact, True Stories from the Contact Underground. I'm Wendy Garrett, Conscious Living on Empower Radio.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.